Around Comics, Episode 62.
Come on, kid.
Ho, ho, ho!
Come on!
Come on up, come on up. Ho, ho, ho!
The store's closing.
Come on. Listen, little boy, we've got a lot of people waiting here, so get going.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Niesman, and I am joined, as always, by my partner in crime and the co-host of the show, Brian Salazar.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, sir.
I wasn't talking to you, Chris. I was talking.
Man, am I getting a feeling of deja
vu? Yeah. Take two.
No.
And next is our resident voice of reason, the other co-host of the show, Mr. Tom Caters.
Hello, Mother Barda and the cousins Barda.
The Barda, the Barda clan.
Everyone Barda out there clan. Is like, they're laughing at a joke. I have no idea.
Roasting chestnuts, waiting.
Well, yeah. we'll let our guest explain. And our guest is a longtime comic veteran and creator extraordinaire, Mr. Hilary Barda. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, apparently I'm a longtime comics veteran, but I know nothing about computers and podcasts because I told my family this was a live interview, and of course it's. It's anything but.
It's gonna be
so they're sitting around the computer. They haven't probably sitting around the computer for, what, 3 days now? This will be broadcast. This will be podcast 4 days later, later.
Just yeah. Wait. It's coming.
And sorry, Mom. I'm hungry. But what if it goes on while we're eating?
This is going to be like one of those South American plane crashes. My family will be in the news, you know.
What happened to Cousin Larry?
One of us
He's
has
gone.
To be by the computer at all times in case
Go out for
comes
food.
Out.
It's like Lost. You can't, you know, somebody has to type in the code.
Very good.
No, don't go get food. He may be on any moment.
Great. And longtime veteran. That's the first mangled sentence out of Chris's mouth.
AKA old fart.
Yeah. Been around the block.
He's been doing
times.
This for a while. How can I say this very nice? I will call him old twice as longtime veteran. All right.
As opposed to yeah, short time veteran.
Short time.
You know, my joints didn't ache when I came here tonight, but now everything's getting creaky.
Well, it's not you know,
it could be a longtime journeyman.
Or a longtime journeyman
novice. That wouldn't
like
be good. Long-time novice would not be good, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, folks, this
I'm still perfecting my craft.
This is our Christmas episode, and there's
and
no other way.
Holiday cheer is everywhere.
Yes, it
apparently
is.
Apparently we've been hitting the grog early tonight.
Eggnog and rum. There's no better way to mark the occasion than to talk about one of the funniest miniseries of 2006, The Last Christmas. It's a Amazon Editor's Top 10 selection, so you can definitely check it out there. The Last Christmas took readers on a wild and irreverent sleigh ride of Yuletide debauchery and sick humor. Mr. Barda here was the inker on the project, and in just a few moments, we'll be talking with the writers of The Last Christmas, Jerry Dugan and Brian Posehn. But first, I'd like to let you know that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by the New York Comic Con.
The New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007.
No.
Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd through 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring Ooh. Comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more.
Everything but comics.
Everything but comics, yes.
It's San Diego.
Don't be embarrassed about liking comics. There'll be celebrities. Guests of honor include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez. With many more to be announced, for a complete list of guests as well as show and advance ticket information, visit www.nycomiccon.com. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con.
Yes, please don't. And we will be there in the end of February.
But we'll be in the area where you will walk by, and it's called the podcast room. It'll be all the people. You're like, who are these people?
Why are they here?
Why are they? Why are they?
I don't see them drawing. Or
be careful what you say in the bathroom. I hear a lot of the interviews take place there.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're wired.
Waiting for Stan Lee to go to the bathroom.
That's the first time I've heard that sentence.
It takes him so long. I just can't.
Excelsior.
Oh, oh man.
Well, if you're
must
not going to
urinate,
be...
but can't.
Oh, this is going to be a rich episode, I can tell. If you're not going to be in New York in the end of February, but you do live in the Chicago area, you can always drop in to Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles on a Friday evening, because Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you. When you're here, please remember to ask about Dark Tower's Pull List membership. It is truly one of the best you will find anywhere.
Truly.
Dark Tower has a great selection of mainstream comics, indie comics, and trades, as well as statues and action figures. Come to Dark Tower for all of your comics and collectible needs.
Yeah. And remember that your Around Comics experience isn't complete until you've read this week's Long Box of Love. Every Thursday episode of Around Comics has a wonderfully handcrafted webcomic from Brian Bowles. Check it out every Monday. Why do you keep forgetting to fix that typo? Check it out every Thursday.
Cut and paste is your enemy.
www.aroundcomics.com.
Wow, yes. You've got comics.
There you go. Don't look at me like that. I'll fix it next week, I promise.
It's only been 3 weeks.
This is going to be the last episode.
The last Christmas episode.
All right, folks. The year of Alan Moore is coming to the end of its first month. It was Swamp Thing month.
No one has talked to me about Swamp Thing, and I'm on Skype, and no one wants to talk to me. So
really?
Yeah. I'm there.
Wow.
I don't know if people are afraid.
Well, they're afraid. You said you were going to yell at them. Yeah.
That they didn't understand.
You were going to yell at them until they cried.
You don't understand.
I don't think I'd want to be a part of that.
Well, folks that aren't aware, we are doing the year of Alan Moore. We started this up on the forum. I told folks that I was woefully behind in my Alan Moore reading, and a listener suggested that we start up a little Alan Moore book club, and that's exactly what we did. So the first four months here. December, which is rapidly coming to an end, we are reading as much Swamp Thing as we can. In January, we're going to be going over The Watchmen and the complete ballad of Halo Jones. In February, we're going to do V for Vendetta and Skiz. And in March, we're going to be reading From Hell. So if you're interested in reading any or all of those, please do so. Check us out on the forum. There'll be discussions going on. And occasionally, Tom's going to be on Skype looking for people to talk to.
There's going to be a contest in January that I think people want to participate in. And shortly, you will be rewarded by me ordering two copies of things while drunk on the internet.
Yes.
Don't
more details later.
Yeah, don't drink and order
Absolute editions.
Because
you might show up with two copies of Absolute Watchmen.
Yeah, somebody's going to have a nice, shiny Absolute
Stay
Watchmen
Stay tuned
out
for
there.
More details.
Is there any Hilary Barta art in here?
I don't show up until August.
Top 10 and...
Yeah, Tomorrow Stories.
Tomorrow mm-hmm. Stories, that's
Tom
right,
Strong
yeah.
and Tomorrow Stories in August. So we'll have to talk about it then, I guess.
In August.
Jump the gun.
Well, you just have to come back in August, and then
we're not only billed as a comics podcast, we're an obsessive compulsive podcast. It's to be done in just
sorry, I can't talk about Splice Brighting it until August.
I have to go wash my hands again.
All right, well, I guess it's probably time to call up Jerry and Brian.
Sure.
Well, once we're done talking with them, we'll obviously talk about Hillary's involvement in the project. But you have a long and very interesting career in comics.
Well, it's long anyway.
Interest there. You worked with Alan Moore.
I'm sorry. What did you say? Yes, of course I did.
So I mean that's yes. right there. We could probably go.
We can talk
on
about
on.
That.
Very cool. Well, we'll talk with Hillary at length after after this part. So
about his poor family waiting to hear.
Mom, I'll bring food.
Hillary,
they're listening now. And it's like we have to wait longer. No. All right. Well, let's call up Mr. Dugan and Mr. Posey.
Open up the computer. Hillary might be trapped inside.
Mom, that's not me doing an impression of you. That's someone who's never met you. That's why it's so inaccurate.
All right,
We're joined by one half of the writing team from The Last Christmas, Mr. Jerry Dugan. Jerry, how you doing?
Jerry's really three quarters.
Good, how are you?
Sal was just saying you're probably three quarters of the writing team. Is that true?
No. I think I probably did, a little bit more of the editing on the book when Brian was on the road and stuff, but, we wrote this, together.
Okay, we were just giving Brian crap because he refused our call.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely 100% of the Around Comics interview.
No, he's enjoying Christmas with his family, as he should, so.
He's threatening to get back to me, but he's got family obligations tonight. It's been hard. He's been traveling a bunch. The Comedians of Comedy have been on the road, and he's going back out with Sarah Silverman right after the holidays. So he's trying to get the family time when he can.
I can attest, though, that this is Hillary. Jerry really did most of the heavy lifting on, running the project, because he's the guy who was on the other end of the phone when I was late, saying, where the hell are the pages, Hillary, that kind of thing.
Do you want your legs broken, Marta?
Jerry is the man with the heavy boots.
Yeah, well, you have the good cop.
Yeah, when I had to, I left a mark on Rick. I'm not going to tell you where on his body, but I left a mark on Rick.
When you see those cigar burns on his arm.
Yeah, there is a so-called sweet spot on an artist where you can get the pages flowing again.
You can't divulge that on the internet.
Spot. Yeah. You can really feel a give, and then you just know after that there's no more excuses.
Well, Jerry, before we get too much off track here, let's talk about the book for a couple minutes, and then we can talk about the other stuff that you do in your very interesting life. But go ahead, tell us a little bit about The Last Christmas.
Sure. When I went away a few years ago, I actually won a little bit of money in Vegas at blackjack. My first time sitting down, and I won some money that I knew that I was just going to, piss away, more or less. So I figured I'd do it all at once and just go on a trip and sort of burn through it all at once. And I went to Spain for like 10 days. And while I was there, I just had this crazy idea that put a gun in Santa's hand. And I didn't really know exactly what it was, but I thought, well, what about Santa as an action hero? But I came back home and I was playing, I think we were playing Halo, Brian and I at Brian's place, while we were theoretically working. And he said, what if it was Santa Claus after the apocalypse? And we just kept laughing and laughing, and it was one of those things that we actually put the controller down, and we went to a computer to start, writing down some of the ideas that we had. We actually beat it out of a full film script, and we did a lot of drafts of it, and we were working a lot in our spare time, and we knew we weren't going to make it as a film, and we talked to Rick about it, and Rick was... somewhere in the process, I forget exactly where, I think he was probably midway through Man with the Screaming Brain with Hillary and Michelle. And so we had sort of talked about doing it as a book, but what we knew we wanted was we wanted that art team, so we were going to wait. And so we waited and waited until those guys
waited,
freed up.
15 years.
Yeah. Hey, Brian is calling me.
All right.
Well,
hang on one second.
Okay.
I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
A lot of sap in here. Looks great. A little full. A lot of sap.
Brian, they were just asking me about sort of where the idea came from, and I was telling them that I sort of went off and had this crazy idea that I took home to Los Angeles, and then you made crazier by remembering, by pitching Santa Claus After the Apocalypse, because we had just seen Road Warrior again.
Yeah, I just watched it, and plus there was marijuana smoke in the room. I don't know if you smoked it, but who smoked it, but the smoke was there, and that's what made us think of Santa with. It was an anthropomorphic cloud of smoke. That, yeah, you were like, let's put a gun in Santa's hand. And I was like, what about a bunch of guns in Santa's hand?
That was it.
And it takes place after the apocalypse.
And it sounds like it was heavily influenced by Halo.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, we were. But it did. It was very impressive that it got us to drop the controllers. Yeah, we were at a computer not too long after, still kind of.
Yeah, yeah. We started beating out ideas right away, and.
I think it's...
Yeah, it's been a thing we've been trying to get going for quite a while, an idea we both really love. So. I have a good story for why I was late, a nice holiday story.
Sure, let's hear it.
I was going to try to call at 6, but I was out doing last-minute Christmas shopping, and that's the holiday part of the story. And then I came home to dog diarrhea, and...
yay.
Yeah. While I was waiting, you know, I was going to call you, and I had to do that. And for 10 minutes, I tried not to vomit on the dog diarrhea. and then I finally just finished cleaning up vomit and dog diarrhea.
Nice. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas.
I don't want to go into one-upsmanship or anything, but my fiance comes with a mini dachshund. And,
I don't have a dog. I guess that's the funny part of the story.
It's like it could have been puked up, even though it was dog dirt.
It's right at the bottom of the Christmas tree.
Yeah. Well, my dachshund took a dump near my Xbox, and I was like, hey, what's going on? And I get her out of bed, and I'm yelling at her and pointing at the poo. And then I yelled at her, and she peed because she was so scared of me. So I got nothing. I had, like, no recourse. Yeah.
You got your dog out of bed? What does that mean?
Yeah, it's she's turned into like a fat teenager that like just IMs all day or something. Like
she had Bauhaus on really loud.
What's that smell?
Yeah. Read Sandman.
Yearbook Xing out people's pictures.
Well, guys, I assume that and we know Brian that you've talked about. Your love of comics on the Comedians of Comedy tour, and I assume you guys were both comic fans for a long time. Was this immediately something that you thought, you know, this should be a comic book, or were you initially thinking of making it something else?
We did think of a feature, but, I mean, the whole time we knew it was going to be a great book. I mean, I remember thinking that, like, almost immediately after the idea was, you know, because he and I had been talking about doing comic book ideas and screenplay ideas, so, you know.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like,
we're both on our mind, yeah.
I think we were only writing that like, you know, that so-called film script because we didn't really know what else to do.
Right.
You know, neither one of us had made a comic book before, but that's really what we were talking about when we were doing it.
Right, and at that point, we barely met the guys like Rick and Kieran, so... We both, neither one of us really knew how to even go about doing it, you know.
Yeah, I probably had just met those guys. They were publishing, what was the Duty Comics?
LCD.
It was LCD, yeah. But Rick, they had Dingleberry.
Captain Dingleberry?
Yeah, they had Dingleberry. Oh, yeah. And that's actually, I met those guys in Artist Alley, and they were like, we have a comic about a super... shitting, and I was like, well, I'm in.
Send one away to get slammed.
If you like it, write me a letter. And so I wrote them a letter that they actually printed. This was like years and years ago. It was so dumb.
But, those guys through Derek Robertson.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We knew them two different ways.
Because I've known Derek for years. I met him in San Francisco. He was roommates with San Francisco comic in the early 90s, this guy Matt Weinhold. He's a nerd. He's in the Star Trek movie, but
yeah, he's a funny guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah, but that's Derek, and Derek used to come over and draw pages at my house, so it was always something I was kind of close to and, of course, into, you know. And, like, I had pitched stuff to DC years ago, but it was, like, too crazy for them. Sorry about the whining dogs in the background.
I thought you said you didn't have any dogs.
That's a continuity error.
bad continuity.
Bad continuity within that.
Well, other than a love of Halo and free-forming clouds of pot smoke, how did you guys end up together, and what's the history between your relationship?
He worked at a comic shop in L.A. that I used to go to, and still do, and just started talking. He was the one guy who really knew what he was talking about to work there. And I don't remember what the first thing we talked about was, like, new Teen Titans or something like that. But then
we had a great talk when Columbine went down, and that's, I think, when our friendship was cemented. That was a great job for me. I met a lot of, like, friends and a lot of folks I would work with later and stuff, and I helped Brian with a pilot that he had gone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you were still working at the shop. Patton Oswalt and I did a pilot that you can find on YouTube. It's not great. There's great jokes in it, but it's not perfect. We would have recut it or done something differently, but it's called Super Nerds. And Jerry helped, did, like, consulting, like, helped us, you know, hooked us up with... Do we have DC all around, or...?
Yeah, we had a lot of Marvel and stuff, and Bowen gave us... You know, everyone was sort of excited to see a half-hour show set in a comic shop and stuff, and there were a lot of, you know, I think, you know, it's sort of, you might look at it now and say, oh, I wish we could have done things differently, but, you know, at the time, I thought there were some great jokes, and the world looked right, so.
Yeah, but it definitely looked like a real store. It was a nice store.
It wasn't that hard for me to like, leave my job at Golden Apple and go down the street to kind of make fake Golden Apple.
You walk over, you sneak cameras in.
At the time, it was more of a waddle, but yeah.
What made you guys decide to participate on the War on Christmas?
It's not.
It's funny. Like, I think, like, in the end, you know, when you read it, he's very redeemed, you know. Like, he sort of goes through a tough period, but, like, I feel like the folks that would be most upset by the book are a little bit immune to it because it's about Santa and it's not really about...
No, it's really an anti-hero story. It's a Clint Eastwood Western.
Yeah.
It's Road Warrior. He does some bad things, but in the end, he comes up, you know, as a good guy. And it's also, like, every traditional Christmas, like, was something that we both really wanted. It is a story of faith, ultimately. It's about believing in something, you know?
I reread the issues on the train ride from my work to here, and I caught this woman looking over my shoulder while I was rereading the issues. And she had this sort of bemused, like, slightly shocked look on her face. Mostly it was, I think it was, I had it turned to the last issue where Santa throws a gun through a zombie's head. And I looked over my shoulder and she's just like hovering over me, like staring down at what I was doing. But she seemed amused by it, so I don't...
Yeah, it's sort of funny. Like, we had a mom, I don't know, Brian, I don't know if you remember this. We were at San Diego and, like, the only... And it wasn't really a negative reaction. The only negative reaction we had in hundreds of people at San Diego was, like, a mom that covered up her son's eyes but gave us kind of a wink. Like, she was very charmed by
wow.
Or, like, she was coming on to you.
Almost 10 feet out, she was charmed by what we were hawking, but it wasn't for her son. But she was still cool with it, so I kind of dug that.
Maybe it was the Suicide Girls ad on the back.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this too.
Yeah. We get a couple of letters by a day just from people either on MySpace or you know to the website. I bought the domain thelastchristmas.com, and really the only horrible or creepy thing I've gotten was like a collection of chick tracks and like I don't know. Whether it was supposed to be fake anthrax or real anthrax, I never got sick. But, like, it was a powdery package of
oh, that's a traditional gift. That's a traditional Spanish gift.
Yeah. So everyone's been pretty down with it, and, like, you know, I don't know if the O'Reillys haven't gotten hip to it, but, like, I sort of was wondering, you know, I was like, eh.
Yeah, I wanted to do that, but I didn't know how to do it. I didn't want to get caught, like, for...
Oh, doing it ourselves.
I was thinking, like, a fake Christian guy, and them, and like I was all offended.
I think trying to
get some publicity and sell some books, but I didn't want to get caught. So.
Mr. Dennis Posehn, reverend from.
Yeah. If any listeners would like to fire off a missive to Bill O'Reilly, please do it. Let's sell some books, and then tell me you did it, and I'll buy dinner at something horrible and cheap.
Well, I think, you know, I look back at some of my most favorite Christmas movies or animated films that are out there, and there's certainly, you know, you look at something like A Christmas Story or even the animated, you know, Rudolph stuff. I mean, there's some certainly twisted stuff going on in some of those things. I mean, A Christmas Story, certainly it plays on just the bizarreness of Christmas as a whole and how people react to it. So I think, I mean, I think there's a history of that kind of thing, and people are more used to it now. While The Last Christmas, you know, takes it to another level of irreverence.
No, it's not really that shocking, but it might be shocking to somebody who hasn't seen, you know, isn't aware of Santa Claus versus the Martians or whatever that thing was. Or
oh, yeah.
Red Lobo paramilitary Christmas, you know. Or seeing South Park or any of these other places where they've done stuff with Santa before. So it's, you know, it's not that shocking, really, but it might be to somebody who doesn't have those references.
Well, we had talked about the art a little earlier, and you guys said that, or Jerry had said that you guys held off on the project a little bit to make sure that you could get Rick Remender and Hillary here involved in the project. Go ahead and talk.
And Michelle Madsen, don't forget.
And Michelle Madsen, absolutely. Go ahead, talk about the art for a moment and why it was important to get that team on the book.
One of the most important things to us, like right when we were talking about this, is, you know, we were looking at IDW at one point, and I was looking at their roster, and I was like, can any of these guys draw comedy? You know, because sure, it's a horror book, and there's action, and it's Santa. You know, we always wanted to have it be like the traditional Santa, but like, you know, comedy is not easy if you haven't done it before, and we really wanted people who would get that and just draw the action stuff and get what, you know, this world looks like, but then also be able to write or tell jokes, you know, in two panels or however many panels that, you know, the bit plays out. That was super, super important to us. And we knew Rick and Kieran were great at comedy because we, you know, we're fans of all their funny books. So yeah, we were talking to those guys first right away. And then Man with the Stinging Brain came out, and we love the combination of, you know, Rick and Hillary and Michelle, and that just made total sense of, like, just locking down the whole team.
Yeah, we were really surprised at the time, too, that, you know, when Rick was like, you know, Hillary and Michelle might be, you know, interested. When that first happened, we were like, oh, my God, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
You know, Hillary was doing, you know, Hillary's been doing humor comics for a long time, and, you know, it's tough. It's you know.
Well, we really wanted the Wally Wood thing, and we knew that those guys together could pull that off. So
my favorite part of the book has to be the scene where the ninja shows up for like no apparent reason. Like, I just want.
If I have my way, he's got his own book coming out pretty soon.
Origins, ninja origins about everything.
Seriously, he had like a kind of a bigger part, and you know we were toying around with point. 6 issues, but it still works where we were just like, you know what? We're just like, we want to have a guy with a sword there. And it makes sense for us
up.
And if everyone will take that leap. And Rick did draw him. He does come up earlier in the book. If you look way in the background of a panel, I guess it must be around issue 3 or so, he's standing in the background. You see a silhouette of a guy with a samurai sword sheath on his back.
I'll say one of my favorite moments was the reindeer standing in for the slaughtered tauntaun in Halloween.
Yeah,
you know, we tried to, you know, we never really, I don't think we named it as like a Star Wars reference, but everyone would understand it. You know, we sort of tried all the best, like, Santa stories are kind of timeless. That's why you can, like, pick up the, you know, one of these old Rankin Bass ones, and, like, it's the same year in and year out, and we hope that that's what is in store for this. It'd be nice if this were timeless and, you know, it didn't have references. Like, you know, in comedy, it's kind of hard to do that with. Like, if you pop in the Cannonball Run, you're like, Jesus Christ, this could only have been made in, like, you know.
Yeah, like, there were some jokes that we pulled because we were just like, how dated, and has this already been hit, you know, so many times anyway. Like, there was one point was a Starbucks that was still working in Seattle. You know, like, everything else was gone, but lame. And then we pulled that, but then I think the only one we left was the Jessica Simpson one.
Yeah, that one still made us laugh at the end.
You know, we felt like she's always going to be around, and people are going to hate her even more as the years go by.
She's going to age like a fine wine.
Yeah, she'll have more resonance.
5 years from now in the peak of her hatred. Yeah, she is not going to get smarter. Yeah, she's older.
Guys.
No, she's going to spiral down. So
North prettier.
Yeah, and prettier.
Guys, this is Hillary. You gave that line to me, though. You know, the Jessica Simpson line?
Oh, well, yeah, you were asking if she was still alive, right?
Right. And yeah. Jerry says, please tell me she's dead.
Yeah, please.
Please.
Hey, you know, that brings up a question I had. I mean, the four of you all make an appearance in the book. And I was wondering, are there any other characters in the book that are based on friends or people that you know or that kind of thing?
Well,
not
Santa.
Really. My Basset Ernie, the dog I don't have, he's been in the last book. And then, of course, we've got that that Lindy England reference.
Yeah, we've got the dog and Lindy England, I guess, showing up in the fifth issue. No one else got drawn in that I know of, unless you know, Hillary did something that I don't know about, or Jeff Darrow put something.
I'm one of those Abu Ghraib zombies, you know, with the black bar.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
that's timeless.
Yeah, that's for the Lindy England thing. One of the elves is doing the gun fingers with his hands.
Yeah.
And just like she did.
Rick drew himself as a zombie that Santa killed.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It sounds like something.
Yeah, and there is a guy in the background that looks like me, a zombie with my big Buddy Holly glasses. Yeah.
Jewish, Kyle?
Yeah, I think so.
Dude, Jewish people don't celebrate Christmas.
What?
You're supposed to sing Hanukkah songs. Dreidel, 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 I made you out of clay. Dreidel, 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 we had that stupid job.
Yeah, Hanukkah sucks.
Don't you oppress me, fat boy.
Don't call me fat, buttfucker.
Then don't belittle my people, you fucking fat ass.
God damn it, don't call me fat, you buttfucker, son of a bitch.
Was there anything in the book, I mean, did you come across anything, or did you come up with any ideas that didn't make the book because you thought it was just too much, or was there ever a point where you just kind of went, well, maybe that's too over the top or too crazy?
There's a lot going back that, like, almost to the beginning where, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, didn't make the pages, the original sort of script that we had beat it out. And then I feel like there's more when we went from six issues to five. And I felt like it made it a better, you know, mini-series that you would pick up in a trade paperback. But it was a lot of dead babies. There was, like, a lot of, like, funny things that we, like, murdered in the end.
Yeah, we did have to kill a lot of children.
Well, I've worked
with mine and Brian's wonderful, charming
children.
Not
just the ugly ones. We killed some of the cute ones that we really liked, too.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the end, the last page of the series is not the end, so that obviously leaves it open that you guys are hopefully going to come back and revisit Santa.
That's just a...
For sure. I want to, and it's so important to me that we get the same team, so it's going to be about, you know, when everybody can do it, and once we've paid Hillary what we owe him and that sort of thing.
God, if
we can talk about the next thing.
If Hillary's wearing a barrel with two straps right now.
Yeah. Well, we sort of even, we had a pretty good idea of where it could go, you know, when we were going to try and get sort of villains that were on his level to sort of, yeah, even the playing field.
Well, apparently the Easter Bunny is a real dick, so is he going to make an appearance?
The Easter Bunny, is a total dick and a douche. but we were sort of toying with having him mess around with the Four Horsemen, right?
Yeah, that was one thing we had talked about.
You know, just as, you know, possible place that I take it.
Captain Kwanzaa.
I remember one of our babies we had to kill that I really wanted to see live was... our reference to the feral kid that's in the, was that two or three where Santa shows up in San Francisco and he's got the paper with the drawing of the feral kid throwing the boomerang, or he's got the boomerang and he's Santa's shooting him. I wanted at the end of the thing, for when the kid gets the bike, to get his pants caught in the, in the sprocket and he gets his pants ripped off and then he falls in mud. And
Well,
he had him. He had him chewing taffy, so he couldn't talk too. It was like ook bark.
He couldn't talk, so he's instantly turned into the feral kid. Like he just pedaled his bike and then yanked, gets his pants ripped off and his clothes ripped off, and then is covered in mud and is can't talk because he's got the taffy in his mouth. So he's like stumbling around on bark.
It's real.
And I remember though having conversations though that were kind of equally. We were just retarded. We were talking about, like, well, he wouldn't really know how to ride a bike, so that seems plausible. Like as though, you know, figuring out the why of why his pants got caught was somehow necessary. It was so much more work.
Here's the thing, though. If you didn't get that right, someone would immediately go to Newsarama and be like, if this character has never ridden a bike before, why would he be so proficient at riding it?
Yeah. Just made up as a dick.
Well, I can imagine between you two and Hillary, who's kind of a ham, and we all know about Rick. I mean,
fucking insult him. Right?
Well, a ham in a good way, you know, like a holiday ham with
a pancetta.
Yeah,
mostly glazed, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, I'm well glazed by now.
And cloves.
Michelle's a street fighter.
But so what I was getting to, I mean, there's a lot of outrageous personalities that were involved in creating this. Was it ever a problem to try and rein things in and keep it on track? Because I can imagine you guys went off in a million different directions.
By the time it actually got to from Brian and I to Rick to Hillary, it had sort of gelled. But there was always the threat of, like, is it too crazy? You know, up until the end, I feel like, too, we were like, you know, we believed in it. But we always had folks, like, even my old man was like, so people are ready for this, right? The Santa thing? And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it.
Sitting around debating stuff like, could Santa Claus really lose a game of Russian roulette?
Oh, like the actual physics?
The metaphysics of last Christmas.
Well, I do have a question concerning metaphysics. What's the difference between a murdering saw and a gift saw, exactly? I kept trying to figure that out, but...
You'd know it if you saw it.
It's not a gift saw. That's a murdering saw. That's the voice
it's
I
It's just one of those things that an elf could look at. You know, they're really good craftsmen.
Machinists. Fantastic machinists.
Well, going away a little bit from comics, Brian, I wanted to ask you about, I recently saw you had done a video earlier this year, or I think it was this year, with the band Anthrax. And you wrote a song and you were the lead singer. And I guess the band's not called Anthrax, it's called Posehn.
Right. Well, I did write an Anthrax video a couple of years ago for Scott and co-directed it. But then this thing this past summer, it's just like 5 months ago for my record, I did a video for a single, and it was a song that I wrote with Scott. I wrote all the lyrics. It's called Metal by Numbers, and Scott wrote all the music. And it was just this goofy, you know, side thing for both of us. It's something we had talked about. I've known him for a couple of years now, and he's a fan of Mr. Show, and I'm a, you know, half my lifelong fan of Anthrax. And, you know, and I love the funny stuff he did with SOD, and it's just something. And, I grew up on Weird Al and Dr. Demento, and so I've always wanted to do, like, novelty or, like, parody-type stuff at some point, but good parody. So, it just sort of came together.
Well, what I enjoyed about it, you know, the most is, like you, I'm you know, a metal fan from years ago, and what I loved about the video was just how you were, you know, really making fun of sort of the new metal that's out there, the new metal scene, and how it's, you know, it's not anything what it once was. And
right.
And how these guys just sort of, you know, like you said, it's metal by numbers. They just, you know, have a formula and they follow it. And so I, as a metal fan, I really enjoyed it. And a lot of my friends are metal fans, you know, going back to the Iron Maiden and Slayer days and, you know, right. That kind of stuff. And so I know that there were plenty of people that knew what you were saying in that video.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, for me, it was a thing. It came from an idea that I'm passionate about. You know, I was watching... Just like in the video, I was watching Headbangers Ball, and there's like three or four videos in a row that just made me mad, and I was pretty much shouting at the TV and just decided, and came up with the phrase Metal by Numbers pretty quickly, and just from there, you know, the song kind of wrote itself.
lyrically.
Well, let's move over to Jerry's other day job, I guess. Jerry, you're a writer for TV, and we were talking earlier, and you work on the show Icons. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I was hired. It was supposed to just really be I think it was like 6 weeks or three-month gig or something like that for Icons, but to simply write them. And since then, you know, I've produced almost a year's worth of shows for G4. You know, I think we're coming close to episode 20. I think episode 20 will be a new Frank Miller episode. And it's basically just half-hour biographies for a demographic that doesn't usually watch them, like young males. We did one on the Onion and one on the Suicide Girls, and one of my favorites was Shepard Fairey. I thought that one turned out really well. He's the artist behind Obey. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing two, actually. One on Eli Roth and one on Frank Miller for 300.
I really enjoyed the Sacha Baron Cohen one, but I don't know if you had anything to do with that specific one.
I did. I wrote that one, too. It's that one of all of the ones that we've done was sort of interesting because it was the one that we didn't have any participation from. Sasha wasn't doing it.
I was going to ask you about that. I was like, when I watched it, two things struck me. I was like, the same four seconds of footage of him getting out of a car was like 50 times. And there was my girlfriend commented on this, the part where he shows up at the Uzbekistan embassy to give his speech about how they are liars.
Yeah.
They put really dramatic music underneath it. And my girlfriend walked in during that part and didn't really know what was going on. And she's like, what's going on? Is this very serious? Like, she didn't understand
right at the time he was talking about, like, you know, unloading his catapults on Uzbekistan. It was like a dramatic music sting.
Yeah.
It was the best, you know. It's tough. It's, you know, the show that I do, you really want to sit down with someone for a day and sort of get the day in the life of the show. But, you know, Sasha, you know, you would fax questions to him and then he would fax questions back as Borat. But that's not going to get you the show
overall,
the way that Shepard Fairey turned out or something. So
the show overall has been awesome.
We licensed that footage from CNN of him in front of the Uzbek embassy, which... You know, it still made me laugh, but it wasn't the same as, you know, following him around.
Well, actually, I watched the Shepard Fairey one today on YouTube. They have it cut into three different parts, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was very entertaining.
Thanks.
They've been really good.
Turned out great for, you know, being somebody that you definitely would have seen his work if you didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
He was sort of, in my mind, like one of the perfect names to do.
Who is that?
He's the guy that did the Obey campaign. He came up with the Andre the Giant. He's a... Yeah.
Well,
the Miller one was a lot of fun. That one I interviewed Frank not too long ago, and then I went to the mixing session for 300. And oh my god, yeah. I mean, it's about to get really nerdy. But Brian and I, you know, our DM said that movie was going to be like Beaches for Dudes, and that one line review could really go on the top of the poster. I mean, I think we're really going to be happy when that movie comes out. I saw the third reel of it while I was interviewing Zach Snyder, the director, for that Frank Miller episode, and it sort of took Sin City and ran with it. If you thought Sin City looked great, wait till you see this movie. I was really impressed.
Nice. And Icons is normally on, I believe, Saturdays at 7 on G4?
Yeah, and there's a marathon coming up, but I think they might be moving us to Sunday night, which is fine. But they sort of live forever on YouTube.
Yes.
Well, G4
can be a little hard to nail down sometimes on your cable dial, but that show is sort of worth YouTubing if you ever wanted to go and eyeball it.
It's a really great show because even if it's not anyone you'd ever be interested in, like the Suicide Girls one, which I watched.
Why would
when
I
my
not?
Girlfriend
why would I
around,
not be interested?
Because my girlfriend
in that?
Listens to the podcast.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, like
that. Way to blow my cover.
We need girls.
Yeah. Oh, what is this? It's a great show. Even if it's someone that you wouldn't necessarily think that you'd be interested in, it does a pretty good job of presenting a very interesting view of them.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, it's the next one is on Tony Alva. If there are any skaters out there?
Oh yeah, sure, cool. Awesome.
That one premieres on Sunday, and that'll run again. You know, I think it runs for 3 years, on and off, every couple of weeks. So
he's a fascinating guy. If for anyone that's watched what Lords of Dog or the
documentary. Yeah, exactly. Boy, those guys, they went through hell, a lot of them.
Yeah, Tony especially, I think. But Brian, I wanted to ask you, I recently rewatched your latest appearance on Conan, and I had a couple of questions off of that. One,
you're not going to ask about Darth Vader, are you?
Well, I was going to ask, you know, are you still playing Darth Vader? And the other question is, how's it going?
The whole time.
How's it going? You know, I know you're trying to, you know.
Here's the weird part, though, but I've got a Doctor Strange in my corn, so it's a cosmic crossover. Yes.
The eye of Armageddon.
The brown eye of Armageddon.
Oh, yeah. Brown eye of Armageddon. Here comes Godzilla. Boy, this is getting crazy.
my other question was, I know that in a lot of the roles that you've played in film and on TV, you've sort of embraced your nerdiness, and I know that you're recently trying to change that. You don't want to be pigeonholed as a nerd or a geek, and you're trying to be more of a creep. And I was wondering, you know, what the progress is on that so far.
It's going great.
Asshole.
Doing a lot of lurking.
A lot of lurking.
Yeah. I kicked out of 3 malls this Christmas. That's good, right? Just for generally creeping everybody out. Yeah, I love the standby from the comedy parts was just murder. Yeah. I stand in the middle of a mall with a bottle of chloroform yelling, "Has anybody seen my baby?"
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.
Hey Brian, I'm a fan of Mr. Show. When I watched that religiously, and I thought it was one of the most brilliant and innovative comedy shows that ever came along. I was just wondering, do you think we'll ever see anything more from sort of that troupe of comedians?
Sure. Yeah, I know Bob and David are talking about doing something together now, but the three of us wrote, I think, Jerry, you read it, right?
I read some of the sketches. I didn't read all of it. I read, like,
we wrote a sketch family
pussies and stuff, and there was some really funny stuff in there.
Yeah.
That was one of my standouts. Yeah, they wrote a sketch comedy movie.
Yeah, there was really a lot. It would be more true to being a Mr. Show movie than Run, Running, Run was. It would be pretty much, just a low-budget sketch comedy that we would try to shoot ourselves like we did the show. But hopefully we can get somebody to give us some money at some point. You know, right now Bob's busy directing movies and trying to get more clout in that world. So I think it could happen in the next couple of years, sure.
Sweet.
I hope it does. And I hope we tour again at some point. I think once Bob's kids are getting older, you know, it'll be easier for him to get away for a couple weeks at a time. But the last time we did a live tour a couple years ago, it really had a toll on him. He wasn't happy being away from his kids for as long as we were. So
I saw you guys in Madison, Wisconsin, and there were some people in the front row yelling out the lines to stuff.
Oh, yeah. You were at that was one of the craziest shows we had.
It was, it was distracting.
When Ennis went nuts, right? Ennis was threatening to kick the shit out of these kids.
Yeah.
Really?
It was a great show.
Yeah, yeah. You never heard of John Ennis? He's like the most docile guy in the football.
Oh, yeah. At the end of the show, Ennis waited, I think, till we were doing our bows, and he's like pointing at the guy and going, "I will fucking kill you," you know?
Yeah. Well, David went off and was like, "You know, we're not on TV right now. We can hear what you're saying to us. There's like an invisible screen. There isn't a screen between us."
He went all Kramer on you. You know?
Yeah. And then the kid came back after the show.
our bus was parked right behind the venue, and kids were coming out to get autographs, and I think I was signing his shirt, and Ennis recognized him and flipped out on the kid again, you know, and the kid kind of, because Ennis was like, I'm serious, man, I will knock you out, you don't do that, and it was pretty crazy, because Ennis was like, he's like, if Fozzie the Bear smoked a lot of weed. Big sweet bear puppet and that smells like weed and hippies. Yeah. He's like the stinky sweet bear.
Well, you know, that brings up another question. Have you seen, you know, any big differences between sort of, you know, TV and movie fans and comic book fans as far as in their reaction to your work?
No, there's a lot of crossover of people that know my name and know everything that I do now. And I think that comes from kind of being visible at these cons and people knowing I'm part of that world and talking about it, on, you know, on TV like I do. And I don't know, that's really helped kind of make these fans who kind of are aware of almost everything I do, know the voice work, know Tom Goes to the Mayor and that sort of stuff, and know the comic books, and then know the history, know Mr. Show, and know, you know, that I'm stand up first, you know, and all that. So it's been kind of cool how in the last couple of years I went from being sort of that guy to, you know, having a name, you know.
Sure. If you could write comics full time, either one of you, if you could write full time, would you like to do that, or is it just something that you want to play around with?
Oh, no. I wouldn't call it playing around. I would, because I'd like to do both. You know, I'd like to keep doing what I'm doing, but then still do a couple of books a year for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, an ongoing, a monthly would be hard for me right now, but I don't know about Jerry, but
yeah, I would love to do more books. I'd, you know, Brian and I have some more things that we hope to be able to do together, and you know, I think some of that's just going to mean, you know, sort of finding some toys that some of the bigger companies aren't playing with at the moment.
Right.
And then also just doing more on our own, and obviously more Christmas stuff.
Right. And I'm sure we'll do stuff on our, you know, I just did a Goon on my own, a backup for the, you know, the Goon War book.
Yeah. And by on our own, too, I just mean, like, Image and, like, going that route, you know, and just...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those guys will be really open, hopefully, to anything that we want to throw at them within reason.
Right. I'd like to do everything. I'd like to do, you know, get a hold of one of the big ones, like a DC or a Marvel superhero at some point, but I'd also like to do kind of an indie book that's more like a, I wouldn't draw it, but it's more like a Joe Matt story or an Adrian Tomine where it's kind of based on my real life. I'd love to do that at some point for, you know, the sensitive nerds. and fat girls, except for fat girls.
Have you ever seen the sensitive nerd section of previews?
Yeah.
Getting thicker all the time.
It comes with a catalog for ordering awkward clothing, like mesh clothing if you're fat,
and a box of tissue.
Brian, Brian, this is Hillary. You should do your American Splendor. I mean, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
but
I can't draw, so...
Well, neither can Peacock.
One of the first things I've ever seen Brian draw was, I don't even know if you'll remember this, we were working on Christmas, and you drew, it was like an aisle of food, as though you'd see it at a supermarket, right? But then, from part of it, you'd see a samurai sword sort of flying from another aisle. We were, like, just listening to guys, but there was a guy on the news that thought he was, like, from Highlander. And then I sort of look over, and you had unconsciously begun drawing this adventure of this fucking maniac.
Yeah, it's true. I drew the POV of a guy that's in the supermarket, and this maniac just ran in with a samurai sword. So it's this guy kind of ducking down.
Yeah, it really made me laugh. It wasn't like obviously the sort of finely polished drawings that we had in Christmas, but like it could work if you ever wanted to sit down and.
I drew a lot, but I don't have any real training, and I don't know. It's something, I don't know. I'd like to stick around with it, but I'd be kind of afraid to put it out there.
Yeah.
you could always do it as like a web comic because, you know, sort of the standards are a little bit lower in that medium just because people don't expect.
You just pissed off every web
comic
artist in the world.
I'm just saying.
We're about to get 100 angry emails.
You can get away
at aroundcomics.com.
If the web comics crowd ever figures out email, you're going to get a lot of responses on that.
Sal at aroundcomics.com.
I think my mom is getting mad right now.
Yeah. What's going
on? What if I just call it Onslaught Reborn?
Oh, I'm not.
Really? Really?
No, that wouldn't work as a webcomic either.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we have a couple questions from some of our forum members, and I think Hillary is gonna read them. So take it away, Hillary.
Hi, guys. This comes from Bam. How much did your experience as screen/comedy writers inform your writing for The Last Christmas? Did it give you an edge and make it easier to do the book? Or was it difficult to translate from your previous work? Go ahead, guys.
I sort of feel like the more writing you do, the better you're going to get. And we just, at that point, I had written a lot of, it was probably mostly crap. But the more you write, the better you're going to be. And so by the time that we needed to get scripts to Rick, we had really sort of figured out how to write a comic book script. And we sought out some comic scripts. So, you know, all of our, you know, film and TV writing had sort of come into play, just informing it all.
And rewriting, screenplay rewriting. And that really came in handy, that experience, because the books got way funnier, especially like once we start to see pencils, we were able to punch up and that kind of comes from TV and screenwriting experience. Definitely have been able to make things better pretty quickly, you know, and giving, you know, you don't have a lot of room. Sometimes you can only just change a line. You can't change an entire scene. You know, I've been in that situation before where you just have to, you know, with what you got, make that funnier, and that kind of came into play a couple of times in the book, making the scripts funnier.
And we were really lucky too to have Rick and Hill to sort of, you know, I don't know if we would look back and see any deficiencies. I've reread it a bunch and just been like, oh, I'm really happy with the way that this turned out. But having those guys like get our backs and stuff for two first time comic book writers has been great. But I think we both learned a hell of a lot. You know, moving forward, we might be able to do it quicker. You know, but we're both really ended up happy with the way it turned out. So I think just the more you write, the better you're going to get.
They call that Marvel style, where you write the script or you can, you know, adjust the script after you get the pencils, which is basically the Stan Lee style of giving the artist a story over the phone. And then the guy draws the story, and then Stan writes whatever he wants to afterwards.
A lot of hard dialogue. Yeah.
So there's a follow-up question from Bam, which is, and of course, what else is in the works? Any metal comics, please?
Yeah, I think Brian better feel that one then, the metal.
Yeah, I don't know what a metal comic would be. I mean, I feel like this is, I think metalheads would appreciate The Last Christmas for sure because, it's got horror references and... there's a couple of people throwing up the horns at different points, and
Santa throws them at one point.
I'm writing a horror movie on my own right now, and it's not a metal movie, but there's definitely metal in it. I mean, metal's always going to be, you know, it's not in the foreground, underlying in anything I do for sure. But I don't have any ideas. Like, this never worked for me. Like, you know, the Ozzy Osbourne comic or the Kiss comic or any of that stuff, you know, when the people try to do a metal comic, or I don't want to piss off Danzig, but I never really dug, you know, any of the...
Veronica?
I also, in my defense, I didn't read a lot of it, but I mean, when I saw this, I don't know if metal books really work. I can't really think of a metal comic book that...
Did you ever read the Alice Cooper From the Inside comic?
I didn't know that one.
That one was actually pretty good.
I haven't seen that either.
We're going to get an angry email from Danzig.
I have the Kiss one.
Psychos.
Maybe like the metal comic for a band that nobody likes, like, you know,
Wasp?
No. Like,
Pretty Boy Floyd, a band that nobody remembers. Like, the reason they never did a second record is they're vampire hunters or something. I don't know.
They're traveling around in a Winnebago filled with corpses.
Living the lifestyle. Keeping it real.
Well, we have another poster asked, and this is from Paul D. He said, Brian, who's the biggest puppy pussy between you and Patton Oswalt these days?
Brian's wiping up poo right now, right?
I think Patton's, way past me. He has a recent poster of him riding a giant version of his puppy. That's just gayer than anything I've done for my puppies.
You vomited on their diarrhea, which
is
pathetic.
Did you guys ever post the pictures of the two of you in your backyard?
Yeah, I got to put that on my page or something somewhere.
Check back at Brian's page, because they did like a photo shoot though that turned out like
his dog was over visiting my dogs, and Grumpus sat in front of Ernie, and we took a picture, and then we took a picture of Patton and I posed the same way, like on the grass, of Patton down on all fours, next to me down on all fours.
Yeah, like kind of one of you's on your side and stuff, and like next, when you look at the pictures back to back, you laugh, and then you want to destroy your eyes.
It's like a senior it's like a senior photo.
Which one of you is licking yourself?
Yeah. No, luckily there was none of that.
Okay.
It's so gay it makes you want to punch God.
well, you know, there was one thing.
They are both like I got the sense too. It's like they don't, you know, they're living in their dog's houses, you know, like when I go over there and Ernie wants to sit where I'm sitting, it's like I'm moving over.
They're great dogs, both of them, but they make me laugh, those guys. Our dogs both rule the house. Yeah, when friends come over, it's like, sorry, dude, that's where my dog sits.
well, speaking of gay, I was wondering, Brian, if you knew that, you know, when you go to your Comedy Central page, in order to watch, you know, clips of your stand-up, you're forced to watch a Ellen DeGeneres commercial before seeing your clips. I was wondering how you felt about that.
That's horrible. Why would they do that to people?
So you can watch her talk to the on the phone like Bob Newhart did like 40 years ago.
Hey, is there a nerd that can do the opposite? Like when you go to Ellen and you want to watch an Ellen clip, you have to watch my dirty fucking stand-up first?
That'd be great.
You have to watch 15 minutes of me talking about my balls. Before you can watch Ellen.
Maybe they could substitute.
I don't know how you fix it. There's probably an hour of A material of you and your balls.
We can do four parts.
The HBO balls special.
Speaking of balls.
The new Martin and Lewis is Brian and his balls.
His balls are going to be doing the telethon in 50 years.
Yeah, and they're going to look better than Jerry does now.
Jerry looks pretty good, actually. No, Ed McMahon, it's rough. man.
I keep waiting when I see Jerry Lewis. I keep waiting for some sweaty guy in a shotgun to shoot him because he thinks he's a zombie or something. Oh, wow. And don't get me wrong. I love, you know,
Jerry Lewis is
going to
send us an angry email.
He's better now, but I saw him when he was all roided up and stuff.
Yeah, a few years ago, he looked like a bloated,
I thought,
you know,
his head was going to explode.
Thanksgiving Day float.
Like the Jerry Lewis that got drunk and fell into the East River. It was the bloated corpse of Jerry Lewis.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm waiting for him to split open and a bunch of bats and snakes come out.
Four smaller Jerry Lewis's climb out and run off in different directions.
Yeah. Bats and snakes. Here come my kids.
He just cracks open like Humpty Dumpty, and it spills out with a pile of goo and
tiny, tiny Jerry Lewis's, and they go all start their own small marathon.
Yeah, he starts throwing up those like little crutches that the kids need. Yeah.
Have you? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to hell.
This is way off topic, but the best part of the marathon.
Way off topic.
More off topic than Jerry Lewis.
The best part of those marathons, though, aren't Ed McMahon and they aren't Jerry Lewis. They're Larry King, who fills in during the middle, and he doesn't know how to talk to crippled children. He is perhaps the rudest man.
He's very uncomfortable, and
he's like, "You're gonna die soon."
So, just how do you talk to crippled children?
A bit more tact than Larry King. I was friends with what was that pitcher? Anyway, Larry King's a liar.
Well, speaking of comedy, Brian, I know you were doing the Comedians of Comedy tour. Is that still going on, or is there a new tour coming up?
We just did a show here in L.A., and there's nothing planned. I know we're talking about going out in the spring. I'm not sure where. I'm sorry being so vague, but it's really Patton's thing, and you know, I'm always ready whenever he wants to go out. But I think we were talking about doing West Coast, okay. Places like Seattle again and Portland and up and down and you know, like even going to Arizona and places like that.
You and Sarah are going out, right, or not?
Yeah, I'm going out with Sarah Silverman. I'm playing a bunch of big cities, Boston and Chicago and places like that with her. Around February or March, a date should be showing up pretty soon for that.
Cool.
Promoting our new show, well, her new show that I'm a part of on Comedy Central.
I just happened to watch her on the Comic Relief. Man, she killed on that.
I didn't know she was on.
She was very funny.
Sloppy Joe's.
Are we spent?
I think we're. I think
we're spent.
Say, yeah. You got to talk to Hillary.
Yeah,
you made him sit here and listen to us talk to you.
Well, Hillary's getting a sloppy Joe and some napkins right now. So,
is that a euphemism?
No, that's a literal description of what he's doing.
Brian, this is such a high class operation. They made sloppy Joes, which is great. But they didn't bring napkins. So I had to go into the bathroom and get toilet paper to use as a napkin. And it looks like a bomb went off in the bathroom. Yeah, so
it looks like your mouth is taking a dump. It's a good thing that you're on radio, Hill. You're
exactly. I no longer feel like eating the sloppy Joe.
I was like, no, don't go in there.
Anyway, it was nice to hear from you guys.
Well, before we let you go, if you could, maybe, you know, are there any special – this is our Christmas special, the last Christmas special that we're doing. Are there any special Christmas moments or stories that you guys could share with us?
We have to put them on the spot,
yeah,
Sal.
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ.
I'll tell you about the Christmas that I'm going home to. This will be my last Christmas moment was – My folks, for many years, they were together many years, and they were married for 17 years, and then they split up, and so they always tried to make Christmas special, and then they were divorced, and they were divorced for 17 years, and now my parents have gotten back together.
Wow.
After 17 years apart, and I'm going home to visit them in the house. In my mom's house.
Wow.
And,
that's a bit like Rocky,
yeah,
the Rocky Balboa movie.
It's going to be a very creepy Christmas at the Duggan house. Well, my story tops that. My dad died when I was two, and this Christmas, he's coming back. And me and my mom don't know what to get him. It's going to be really weird.
Awkward. I would imagine that's an awkward.
The most awkward Christmas of all time.
Well, get let's him a face time. It, it depends how he comes back. Yeah. Because if he comes back and he's like, Brian, it's so good to see you. And
that's him calling right now.
It's great. If not, you better have a shoddy on hand. Well, no, I mean, I'm digging him up and taking him to a pet cemetery. You're bringing him back. Is that okay? This old guy that lives next to me told me of this place where you can bring things back.
Remember, Brian, there's always a price to pay.
Yeah, you're going to have to take care of him.
You're going to have to vomit on your resurrected father's diarrhea.
It's going
to
be like, old man vomit on top of your vomit on top of the dog vomit. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me, and then I'm going to topple over and go, no fad, daddy.
Just hang one of those trees around his neck, you know, a little disinfectant. Air fresheners.
Smell fresh.
Hey, one more.
I guess whenever I think of Christmas, too, I always like the story of the guy that dresses up like Santa, and he's probably drunk. That's what they kind of leave out. You know, he goes down the chimney and then needs the fire department to come with jackhammers to break him out of the chimney. That was like every December 26th in New Jersey. You could always read the story about the guy from Franklin Lakes that got drunk and decided to, you know, actually go down the chimney. There's one of those every year.
Isn't that in Gremlins? Isn't that what happened to Phoebe Cates' dad? Is that true?
Stop stealing your ideas from Gremlins.
Hates Christmas. In Gremlins, she hates Christmas because her dad got on Christmas.
That is right.
Well, my favorite Christmas memory is when my dad bought me something from a small Chinese shop in downtown. It was a tiny creature.
I think my favorite Christmas memory was when I was trapped in this large high-rise building in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I was a police officer, and there was these German terrorists that were...
Still my favorite Christmas movie.
Running across broken glass.
Yeah, that hurt. That was.
I remember your Christmas card that year. It was ho ho ho. Now I have a machine gun, and I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. But now it makes perfect sense.
My favorite Christmas was when they started selling alcohol and letting prostitutes run wild in my hometown, Bedford Falls. It was great.
In 1926.
Yep.
There was one Christmas where I wanted to be a dentist, and
what? A dentist?
That's a long story.
I'm actually made out of snow. I'm going to melt by the end of the show.
Shall we let these poor gentlemen go and spend time with their families?
Are you guys planning on going to any conventions in this next coming year to promote The Last Christmas or anything else you're working on?
I think more than ever, more than we ever have.
I think we're finally going to get to Seattle, and I think we're going to make New York, and we usually have been at WonderCon. We missed last year, but
we're going to be in New
York. Going back.
Yeah,
what's the one in North Carolina? What's the one in North Carolina?
Oh,
Heroes Con.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Heroes Con.
I'd love to make it out to Heroes.
Yeah, we'd love to get there.
Great.
Sure. We'll be in New York in February, and of course Chicago is our hometown convention. So
we'll come and see you and make you feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying hi.
Please.
Hey.
Yeah, please do it. We want to make Chicago too. I may be there anyway. My fiance's family is there, so maybe I'll be there solo. But is that right up against San Diego again this year, or is it?
It's a little earlier. It's I think it's July. It's the end of July as mm-hmm. opposed to the beginning of August. It's like it's like 2 weeks earlier, I believe.
That means it'll only be 93.
Yeah.
Well, I might make Chicago too, but definitely Seattle and WonderCon and San Diego, obviously.
All right, awesome. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much. It has been a wonderful time with you.
We covered everything.
Yeah,
we covered fucking Jerry Lewis marathon.
Yeah, no, that's something you can rebroadcast as counter programming when he goes on the air next time.
Labor Day special.
Labor Day special.
All right, well, guys, we love the book. Congratulations on all the success. We didn't even mention that it was an Amazon Editor's Top 10 pick, so that means it's got to be good, right? Yeah,
that's according to the internet.
with the sensitive nerd stuff,
The Sandman Christmas special, where Santa drowns in a river of tears.
Well, for anyone that hasn't read the book and is listening to this, it's hilarious. I mean, these guys have really put themselves into it, and between Rick and Jerry and Brian and Hillary.
Michelle.
I mean, it's just a fantastic, funny, you know, please don't go at it too seriously. It's a joke. It's supposed to be funny and not something to be analyzed. It's just fun and entertaining and irreverent
and
crazy.
Angry emails to Bill O'Reilly, though.
Yeah. Well, you could certainly do that, but it's a really good book. If you haven't picked it up, go check
Brian
it out.
Brian and I have a no prize planned.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. We'll figure out something. The no prize was a chip, though. It was just an empty envelope. We can beat that.
I'm thinking dog vomit maybe could work for that.
Kicking the balls.
How about a text message with Brian's sack in it? Could get that going, too.
Just be one of my friends and you'll get one of those.
Yeah, you'll get a holiday message from Brian's balls.
I sent Jerry a picture of my balls on Thanksgiving that said Happy Turkey Day. That's how I knew it was a holiday. It's not a holiday unless I get a message.
Brian's balls and his kids in the marathon.
And his dog.
I knew it was time to put delicious turkey in my mouth when I saw those balls. No, hey, thanks for having us. It's a real blast. It just could not have been a better first time for us in comics. So, I want to thank Hillary and Rick and Michelle for that.
Hey, guys, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And, I hope we can get some more things going pretty quickly. And Merry Christmas to everybody, and thanks for having us on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks. Thank you guys for spending the time with us, and have a happy holiday.
Yes.
Yeah, you too.
Right. Yeah. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry
Bye.
Christmas.
Take care.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yes.
Bitch and Kwanzaa.
And we'd like to thank Jerry Dugan and Brian Posehn for spending so much time with us. And because of that, we have decided to make this part one of our Christmas special.
It's too much.
It was too much of a
good
time.
Too much talking to people that actually do comics.
We kind of planned on talking with Hillary a little bit after talking. You know, we talked with him a little bit before, and we decided we'd talk to him a little bit after, but it was such a great conversation.
And we ended up spending about over an hour
with
Hillary.
Just Hillary in it, so. But it was fascinating and just a great talk with him, so we decided to make it its own episode. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So coming up in a couple of days, you'll have part two of our Christmas special. We'll finish up with Hillary Barta.
It
was a really, really neat. And now playing the part of Hillary Barta is Mr. John Suntress.
It's my pleasure. I enjoy inking. I enjoy drawing. I enjoy life. I am an artist. That sounds nothing like Hillary Barta.
Hello. Mr. Suntress, how you doing?
Boys, I'm coming off a cold, and I'm doing fine, so I hope not
to
infect.
You're looking strong.
Good to have you back. I feel comfortable with you.
Yeah, I'm sorry I missed Gene Colan, but, man, Hillary was great, and it's definitely going to be worth a second episode. I'm not being nice. The guy's got an incredible career and touches a lot of different things beyond Last Christmas.
Yeah.
You won't regret it, kids. Yeah. You will not regret it.
All right, so check that out in our next episode. It will be a lot of fun. Sal, the Around Comics Hotline.
1-888-65-GCAST. Give us a call. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show.
And
if it's suitable. Which
we haven't turned one down yet.
No, true enough.
That's one way to interact with the show. Another one is by going to the Frapper map. We have some new Frapper mappers. Tom, who signed up in the last week?
You always handed off the weird names. I've just said it, Greg Mastevia. I'm sorry, I just said your name is weird, Greg Mastevievich.
It's G. Mateus from the forum, by the way.
Mateusovich.
He's a good guy. He's a Word Balloon listener as well.
No, I didn't accuse him of being
No, of course
of
not. But
asshole.
I'm just saying that, like, in addition to him being new to being Frapper, he's quite the podcast listener.
Insert witticism here. Cue Tom. You're not going to get anything.
Too late.
Too late. Sorry, exactly. Man. My wit was spent hours ago.
No, good guy. I hung out with him in San Diego and mm-hmm. really, really.
Yeah, very good poster on the forum.
Very cool guy.
Yeah. Ben,
just
from,
a fucked up last name. That's all.
Manchester, New Hampshire, and he says, "Welcome to Manch Vegas, New Hampshire, home of the Monarchs, Pilot Groove, and New England's best LCS Midnight Comics."
There you go.
Sounds like a porn shop.
And Andy Jewett from Elkhart, Indiana.
Who?
Said.
Who?
Andy Jewett.
I know him.
Do you?
Yeah, he's all over.
I know.
He's all over the place.
Word
from Andy Jewett.
No, Andy's a great guy. Thank you, Andy.
He said, love the show, guys.
Yep.
Andy's a great guy.
Check out all the great things that AroundComics.com has to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book news, reviews, and opinions. While you're there, please take a minute to fill out our listener survey. It lets us know who we're talking to and how we can make Around Comics a better show. We are proud members of the Comic Podcast Network. The CPN is a collection of the best comic book podcasts on the net. You can learn more about the network and find more great podcasts at comicpodcast.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post next week's topic on Tuesdays or thereabouts. Sometimes I'll sneak them in on Mondays. And that's all at our forum at www.aroundcomics.com. If you'd be so kind as to take part of our listener LCS challenge, we would appreciate that. Also, check us out at ComicSpace, www.comicspace.com/aroundcomics.
/TomCares.
I'm a friend of both of those pages.
And
actually, and Sean Easton as well. Wow, he didn't even pimp his own Comic Space page.
I don't need to.
Not really sure
everybody's
what
I'm a dick.
Got to be honest, not really sure what else we're doing on Comic Space other than being there. It's like a big-ass yearbook for everyone.
It's
hey,
growing,
I love you.
It's
love
changing.
You
it's,
well, thanks yeah. for the ad.
What's the difference?
Exactly.
Fuck you for the ad.
What's the difference?
Between that and MySpace or anything else.
I'm waiting for that one person.
Well, at least MySpace we can like run our shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No. And I'm happy
hey,
to be
it's
there.
It's fucking free. Don't complain. Hey,
I'm waiting for the one
like
person
us.
I
that's
truly
nice.
Feel comfortable with sending the message of fuck you for the ad.
That's true.
You can always delete me as a friend.
Rob Liefeld, I'm looking at you.
Oh, nice. He's a nice guy. I like Rob.
I know.
Rob
that's
is
why
nice.
I think it'll be funny if I said, fuck you, Rob.
No. I don't think it would be seen that way.
Wink.
God.
There'll be a wink at the end.
Wink
that
emoticon.
Okay.
All right. And, of course, my favorite, the iTunes review. Please go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We would definitely
or leave us a review at dig.com or your audio
blah,
page.
Blah, blah, blah,
or anywhere
send
else.
Or send us a letter.
Pickle. Or yeah, just wave a flag saying how much you love
Alley would be nice.
Smoke signals.
Call up other podcasts and tell them how great we are.
Call your parents.
You know,
tell them.
Tell.
Call Hilary Bardas.
Get
parents.
A tattoo.
Everyone, thank you so much. Want to thank Brian Dugan.
Brian Dugan, Gerard Dugan,
Jerry Dugan.
It's so late here. I'm starting to meld people together.
Jerry
Dugan.
Brian Hossein.
Dugan.
Duggan.
Jerry Duggan.
Can I do this?
Brian Posehn. Hilary Barda. Do you want to thank people?
I think
this
you
is
finally
like,
got
this
to
is
go.
Like an Elvis show in 1972. Yeah. I'd like to thank Brian Duggan.
Sing it, girl.
What? Whoa, my belt's too tight.
Everyone have a fantastic week. We'll be back on Thursday with another great episode with Hilary Barda. In the meantime, we'll be everywhere in...
That's my line.
And around,
comics.
Las Vegas style shows.
Not anymore. Chris, you're fired.
If you would like to suggest a topic, send us your comments, or are interested in becoming a panel member, email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2006. All rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my left alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.
Where do you think you're going? Nobody's leaving. Nobody's walking out on this fun old-fashioned family Christmas. No, no, we're all in this together. This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here. We're going to press on, and we're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny fucking K. And when Santa squeezes his fat white ass down that chimney tonight, he's going to find the jolliest bunch of assholes this side of the nut house.
The Tannenbaum trees are passing below. Someone says, ho, ho, you glance up quite quickly. A man with a beard white as snow. Sugar plum visions you see in a dream. The chimney, Saint Nick with the twinkling eye.